What if the resurrection is not just proof that Jesus died, but the very power that makes you truly forgiven and fully alive right now? Let's unpack how Christ's death paid for sin and his resurrection applies justification, holiness, and new life for every believer stepping into the public square today. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and I hope you're having a great day today. I know we're getting really close to Christmas, and this is a time for us to grow spiritually and to talk about Jesus to all those around us. So hope you're enjoying your Christmas season. I know it's not pleasant for everyone. I also know that we can have our joy in the Lord and not in our circumstances. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender huddle. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to read two portions of scripture and then look at a dictionary definition of the word justification. And so I'm going to read some commentary today. Let's start with Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions. So this is incredibly important. Some people have said, the Jews crucified Jesus. And the answer is, every sinful human being crucified Jesus. We all did. Our sin is what crucified him, not one people group. Now, that act may have come through Rome was, the Roman Empire was in existence then, and we also know that the Jews and the Pharisees and Sadducees, all that took place, but our sin ultimately crucified Jesus and was raised because of our justification. So we have death and resurrection. We're going to look at an in-depth study of the word justification there. It's only used, I think, two times, primarily this particular word in Scripture. But we're going to look at that closely. But look at that. And we're raised because of our justification. If we want to be justified, just as if we never sinned, we need the resurrection. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, it says, so then, as through one transgression there resulted in condemnation to all men, even as through one act of righteousness there resulted in justification. See, there's that word justification again, of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. So let's read Zodiati's The Complete Word Study Dictionary. Of the two places that the word occurs, the word is that word justification. So we have it here and we have it here, 425 and 518. Okay. So of the two places that the word occurs in the New Testament, the first is in Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Dakiasin, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, must not be thought of simply as evidence of death. The stress here is the resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary to justification. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's not that he was just dead and then we have evidence of that, the resurrection. We actually have another action that took place. And so we have the resurrection is for our justification, not merely because of the difference it makes to us as certifying the atoning efficacy of his death and thus evoking our faith in him, but also because of the difference it makes for Christ himself. It marks the point at which his sovereign power as Lord is made effective. Our justification, the basis of which has been laid in the death, becomes an accomplishing fact and effective reality only through Christ rising again, that death, resurrection. So you probably have heard me teach many times on the gospel message, death, burial, resurrection, appearance. Two actions, two evidences. The action is death. The action is resurrection. Evidence is burial and appearance. Well, Zodiades is pointing out that it's not just that we see that the resurrection is like an evidence of being dead. It really was an action. It was an action to justification. So we see that effective reality only through Christ Jesus. Again, by faith, we are united to a living Christ whose death was essential for our redemption. In other words, the payment or the redeeming of ourselves was through his death. That which redeems us is not Christ's atoning death apart from his living person into whose union we are brought by faith. So it wasn't just that Jesus, fully God and fully man, died for us. I mean, that would be awesome. He did that. But he actually conquered death by resurrecting. We cannot separate the proprietary work of Christ from Christ himself. We are saved not by believing the fact that Christ died for our sins, but by union with the crucified and risen, exalted Savior. Only through union with a living Savior who has in him the virtue of his atoning death do justification, forgiveness, and all the blessings of redemption become ours. I want you to grab a hold of that. Only through union with a living Savior. In other words, if Jesus were still dead, he wouldn't be a living Savior. Who has in him the virtue of his atoning death. So this resurrected Savior, he has in him the atoning death. Do we come to the place of justification, just as if I never sinned? Forgiveness, the past is gone, and all the blessings of the payment or redemption become ours, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And you can check this out at Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14. We are accepted in the beloved. So this death and resurrection brings us into the beloved or beloved. Ephesians 1:6. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. We haven't gotten there yet, but we'll get there. So this is what's powerful, is that we understand that the two actions, death and resurrection, did something. Death paid for sin. Resurrection conquered sin. Death was forgiveness. Resurrection is newness. So think about those two actions. Justification is ours as we are in Christ in such living union with him that his life becomes identified with ours and ours with his. So we become united in his resurrection. That's why yesterday when I talked about you have eternal life, but you have eternal life now, it's not like we're waiting. Our soul has been regenerated in the presence of Almighty God. This is what's so beautiful. We are more than a piece of meat. I recently read a book that talks about, are we just mechanical systems that are a piece of meat? No. This, actually, it was a brain surgeon. This brain surgeon said, we are so much more than that. We have a soul, and in that soul, we have a spirit and a heart and emotions and desires. All that stuff is in the soul. And we see that when we were once far from God, that we were enemies to the cross and enemies of Christ, that once we were stuck in our sin and our disobedience, but now we have been made alive together with Christ. We become identified with him and he with us. Because of this identification or incorporation, we get incorporated into Christ's acts are repeated in us. So the death and resurrection of Christ dwells or is repeated inside of you, so that in his death, we die to sin. In other words, Galatians 2:20, you've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but the life I live in the flesh, I now live for the glory of God. And in this life, we live to righteousness. But it is only by his risen life that Christ can come into such living union with men as thus to effect their redemption. So think about that for a moment. It's only because he conquered death can he then come into the soul, the spirit of man, and rejuvenate, resurrect, make brand new. Really not rejuvenate. The better word is resurrect, newness, transform. That would be better language. So his risen life, that Christ can come into such living union with men as to thus affect their redemption. The apostolic thought in Romans 4:25 accordingly is this. He has delivered up to death on account of our trespasses. In other words, he was given over to the cross because of our trespasses. And he was raised on account of our justification, that it might become an accomplished fact. You are justified in Christ Jesus right now because Christ resurrected from the dead. His rising again was a necessary antecedent of his applying to his elect the virtue of the atonement which his death wrought for all men. He died to purchase what he rose again to apply. Ooh, get a hold of that. He died to purchase what he rose again to apply to our life. This is incredibly important. He didn't just die to purchase us, but he wanted to apply something, sanctification, righteousness, holiness to our life. So it is that in a sense, the resurrection of Christ is referred to as the cause of justification. The reason you are justified is because of the resurrection. It is doubtlessly true that Paul did not make an abstract separation between Christ's death and his resurrection, as the death and the resurrection either had different motives or served inseparable from each other. Christ's work is one and its end is one. He both died and was raised for our justification. But the end effect was only through the resurrection, Romans 8:34. That's that second verse who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead. So Romans 5:10, saved by his life. 1 Corinthians 5:17, if Christ be not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. In Hebrews, the same truth is presented for the point of the view of the priesthood of Christ. In the Old Testament ritual, only when the high priest took the blood within the veil and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat was the offering for sin completed and the covenant fellowship with God established. In the same way, Christ's offering for sin was not completed until, in the heavenly sanctuary, he presented himself through his own blood. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Hebrews 9:12. With the virtue of his atoning death in him, only then is the new covenant or fellowship between God and sinners established. It is in him as the living, prevailing high priest, and not merely through something which he did in the past, that we have peace with God. He is now always at the right hand of God, interceding for us, Romans 8:34. So the second verse in which the word dakiasos occurs in Romans 5:18, which has to do with the life he gives through his resurrection and the sharing of his life with us. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon the men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification, dakiasso, of life. So, what's our public square application for today? Yes, you have been forgiven of your sin if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith through grace. Yes, the payment for sin has been dealt with. That's all death. At the same point, justification has been applied. Not justification for doing bad things, but the holiness and righteousness and justification before God, the cleanliness, the purification of God, made righteous in the sight of God, has been equally applied. How will that change you as you walk into the public square today, knowing from a humble stance that you have been justified? Are you going to be arrogant, prideful, boastful? I don't think so. The outcome of the resurrection in your life is grace, mercy, truth, holiness, righteousness, peace. And as we enter into this time of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, remember the birth is the beginning. The cross is the transformation. You are justified. You are made righteous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as people go into the workplace today that, God, they will always remember that not only have they been forgiven, but justification has been applied. Life is in them now. They walk in this newness of life like never before. God, go before us in Jesus' name. Surround us. Give us opportunity to speak life into people. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, God. You are our rock. You are our fortress. You are our refuge. Go before us today. Let someone come to know you today. Let our hearts, our soul, our mind, our emotions, our desires all be in alignment with you today. Let your resurrection power flow into every component of our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.